Yeah, but Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." Mothers often give us the best picture of unconditional love. Praying for wayward children when others have given up. Praying God would bless them and return them to righteousness. Fully believing that they would when all others have given up on them. Refusing to stop praying until they receive their answer. From a Wesleyan Methodist, a mother kept a candle burning in the window every night for 10 years. One night, very late, a poor, wretched woman came in from the street. The aged mother said to her, "Sit down by the fire." The stranger asked, "Why do you keep the light in the window?" The old mother replied, "That light is for my wayward daughter. She left home 10 years ago. I am praying for her return. I have kept the light in the window for 10 years. Others often blame me for worrying about her, but you see, I love her. I am her mother. Often in the night, I open the door and look out to the darkness and cry, 'Lizzie, Lizzie.'" The woman from the street began to weep. The aged mother looked closely at her and said, "Why, how cold and sick you seem. You must have trouble enough on your own." Then suddenly the mother exclaimed, "Can it be? Yes, you are Lizzie, my own lost child. Thank God that you are home again." How thankful that we can be that mothers love us. Godly mothers often put others' needs before their own. They tend to think the best of everybody. They'll pray for the best of everybody. They desire the best for everybody, and they will work for the best for everybody, often going without so their families can be blessed. Today, we're going to look at an amazing mother, a broken-hearted mother with a child that was vexed with the devil, a mother willing to do whatever it took to see her daughter come back to righteousness and health, a mother seeking the only person that could possibly help her, a mother who prayed to Jesus and would not leave until she received the answer, humbling herself as she interceded for her daughter. Let us look at a mother greatly praised by Jesus Christ, a pagan mother who saw Christ's truth when the Jews missed it, a pagan mother whose faith gave her the answer to prayer that she so desired. Let's look at the Syrophoenician woman. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 21. "Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent, but under the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then came she and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs.' And she said, 'Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said unto her, 'O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt.' And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Dear Heavenly Fathers, we look at your word today. We see a mother concerned for her daughter. We see a mother knowing who the Messiah was. Even though she was a pagan, she recognized the power of Jesus Christ. Lord, you showed yourself mighty in her life. You showed herself mighty in her word. And Lord, she came with no expectation of getting an answer to prayer, but desiring an answer to prayer. Let us learn from this mother, Lord. We deserve nothing, but you give us everything. And let us always pray, and let us keep praying until we receive the answer that we will learn of you as we receive what we need from you. And Lord, let us look at mothers today and glorify your name by the gift of mothers you've given to our families, to learn from what mothers do in the family, to learn why we need to become one flesh as we grow closer as mothers and fathers in raising our children, and learning from each other and seeing the greatness that you've given the mothers. We ask it in your precious son's dear name. Amen. Once again, this woman had absolutely no business approaching Jesus Christ. She was a Canaanite woman. Now, what was a Canaanite woman? By Mark 7:26, she was a Canaanite woman of Syrophoenician heritage. Very rich, very proud, very pagan Gentiles. Canaan was a nation cursed as a son of Ham for Ham's sin with Noah in Genesis 9:26. Judged for its sin, the land of Canaan was given to Israel. Deuteronomy 20:17 shows God calling for Canaan's utter and complete destruction because of its great idolatry. Not exactly a great way to work on international relations and having a Canaanite woman come to Jesus Christ. Israel did not utterly destroy Canaan as called for by God, but in agreed, put many under tribute. We'll let you live as long as you pay taxes to us. Becoming stronger, many Canaanites nations ended up plaguing Israel as God promised they would if they didn't utterly destroy them. Now, with this history, all Gentiles, and especially Canaanites, were considered dogs by the Jews. Now, the Canaanites, on the other hand, very rich trading nations now, looked down on the Jews and proclaimed their own gods as being great. This mother cared nothing of the political conversations, cared nothing of nationalistic hatreds. She saw a daughter that needed help. She saw a man that could help her daughter. And she would go to this great man and ask for help regardless of her own background. This faithful mother showed us how to pray effectively. She displayed a total love for another. She put aside all pride to ensure she received the answer she needed. She went to the only one who could answer, and she wouldn't leave until she received that answer. So in this prayer, we see four things. We see her being focused, intercessory, importune, and most importantly, humble. So focused. This mother showed a focused need. What was that need? Mercy. From whom? She said, O Lord, thou son of David. She went to him, considered now the head of a hated enemy, the Jews, because she recognized his power, something the Jews missed. Not understanding Old Testament texts, she knew enough to know that this was the coming Messiah. She knew this son of David proved his claims, even though she was a pagan. And so the Jews crucified this particular person whom this mother came to recognize his power. Her prayer focused on his ability to answer by who he was, how every one of us should pray. Not perfectly, she's an ignorant pagan, but closer to a proper prayer than any proud Pharisee would ever give. Listen to the start of the commonly called Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 10. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. With no training, she called him Lord and Son of David, knew that whatever he wanted to do now could be done, and knew that his will would be done eventually as Messiah. It matched that prayer fairly closely. The Pharisees never even came close. She praised him for who he was, understanding who he will be, and focused on her need right now. Now, she came not for her reputation. She was going to the Messiah of the Jews who her countryman hated. Now, think about the Canaanites out there. Why are you going to this charlatan, this fake magician who does a few tricks to get some ignorant Jews to follow him? What are you thinking? Why don't you go to our great gods? You see that we're rich. They're not near as rich as we are. There's no power in their God. Even his own people refuse. Look at the Jews. They hate him. What good could he possibly do you? She instead focused on the Jews' Messiah, who proved his position by his words and his miracles. A mother's love cut through the politics, the competing false religion, the popular culture of the day, to focus on the only wise God who was able to help her. How much better for the Jews had they done the same thing? How much better for the modern church if we would recognize the same thing that this wise pagan mother recognized? We go to him for who he is, we worship him for who he is, and we receive because of who he is, not for any value that we have. So she's focused. Next, her prayer was intercessory. This cursed pagan woman showed the very best of Christian love. She came not to pray for her own benefits, but like Lizzie, came to pray for her daughter vexed with the devil, vexed with the worldly situation that her daughter was in. She faced the same problems Lizzie's mom faced. Others would have told her to give up. Pagan gods gave no relief, and If you read about what happens when someone is possessed with the devil, it's not someone you really want to be around. So this pagan mother had this woman, that's a girl she loved, possessed by a devil, vexed by a devil. The people wouldn't come and eat dinner with her. This daughter would be too crazy. She probably felt some shame for all the noise that this daughter kept making. Other people would say, you need to get rid of her. Send her away. Do something. She's ruining your life. She refused to give up on this daughter. Now, she, not caring, prayed to Jesus and patiently waited. No, she came right to Jesus. Came right to him. And what did he do? He spoke not a word. The disciples tried to send her away. What would she do? She sat there and waited. She looked at Jesus. She continued to wait to see what the answer would be. If the answer is no, I'll do something else. But he has not given me an answer yet. Feeling her daughter's pain, she lived, Philippians 2:4. Not looking at her own things, but in the things for others. She felt immense pain, and she would continue to feel that pain until her daughter was healed. So with that, she would continue to pray for her daughter until she received the answer. Now today's women are arguing for equal pay, equal rights, equality between the sexes on all fronts. How much better would it be that instead of proving themselves as having men's strengths, they built upon their own? Women have strengths I don't have. They have patience. They have a love that men typically don't have. They have things that God gave them to make them very valuable in the family. Why would they want my weaknesses? That's basically what they're asking for. Women never give up on people. They seek others' needs above their own. And they pray fervently until they get their answer. You know, women even want equality in combat. I'll tell you right now, men are far better than women in military combat, in physical combat. But mothers are quite often better at the spiritual combat because they will pray more fervently and longer than men as we're out there fighting the battles. I would far rather see Mary pray for me, as she does, than to join me out there in the world making money with me to help the family. Let us praise mothers who pray and seek the best for their families. We see that with their intercessory prayers all the time. The next thing she was importune. When Jesus finally speaks, it was not an answer that inspired confidence in the fact that he was going to heal her daughter. I am not sent to the lost people out there. I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. I'm not sent to you, you Canaanite dog. Who do you think you are, basically, is what he was saying. He was testing her faith. But he's the Messiah of the Jews, not the Canaanites. Oh, by the way, you're a cursed race. Had they obeyed my father and destroyed your race, you wouldn't even be here. The fact you're here is because Israel already failed. That's how cursed your race is. Now, think of the response most men would have given. Who on earth does he think he is? I come here, I praise him, I look at who he is, and what does he do? He ignores me. Who needs him? Or, well, looks like no solution here. Let's go try something else. Praise God, this faithful mother showed us a more excellent way. This was a mother that refused to take no for an answer. How many fathers would pray day and night like she did? Well, some happen, some do, but mothers tend to do it more often. Jesus knew this mother's heart, and he tests her faith. She was not insulted. She was not discouraged. What did she do? She's been told, I'm not come to help you. You're not an Israelite. You're a cursed pagan. You're a cursed pagan. Who do you think you are? She doesn't turn away in disgust. She comes and worships him. She bows her knee to this person who obviously had the power to heal her daughter, and she says, Lord, help me. How many of us would say, Lord, help me, the way she did at that point? She had called him Lord before, but now his answer is apparently no. So what did she do? Much more than the Jews did. She came and worshiped him, and she wouldn't leave once again until she had that answer. She kneels in front of a foreign god to her and says, help me. Now, we see the value of importune prayer, as Jesus taught in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Starting at verse 1. I'm preaching fast today. Look at And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The unjust judge. Okay, this woman, he comes out of his quarters. He hasn't been bribed by her. This woman has no money. Avenge my enemies! Oh, go away, you're bothering me. He comes home, goes up his driveway, and there's this woman. Avenge me of my enemy! You're on my property. Go away. He goes to bed. Gets up the next morning. Opens the window, and there she is on the sidewalk. Avenge me of my enemy! Oh, jeez. He gets to the point where he's afraid to open his medicine cabinet because he's going to see her face there saying, Avenge me of my enemy. So he says, I've had enough. I'm going to avenge her. Pretty much what he says. That's an unjust judge. God is saying, I'm a God who's looking at what the unjust are doing to my children. Will I not more greatly avenge them? That's basically what he was saying. What did this woman do? She came to Jesus. She would cry day and night to him. And by her faith, she would be avenged. She didn't just say a few words on the off chance it might work. She cried in faith, fully expecting Jesus to answer, Lord, help me. And not leaving until she received it. Oh, that we would honor these type of prayers more. How many children have been saved from sin and degradation by the long and faithful prayers of mothers waiting on their children day and night? Let us not try to give women merely the same opportunities as men in the world. Let us praise their strengths, their patient teaching, their prayers, and as mothers seeking God's best for their own families. Let us praise them for their faithfulness. And as men, let us learn from their fully expectant prayers. So, we have all this. Now we have her humility. She comes to Jesus Christ with no expectation of having her prayers answered, with absolutely nothing to offer except her faith. Jesus points out that he was sent to be the Jews' Messiah. Once again, in the eyes of the Jews, Gentiles, and especially Canaanites would be dogs. Jesus used the stereotype to show this woman had no reason to expect anything from him. And she did not disagree. She came with nothing to offer except faith. She had no expectation of an answer to prayer. Yet she knew this Messiah had come and had answered prayers. And she lived James 4:10. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. She saw people proudly serving their pagan gods who could not answer prayer, and she came weak and needy to the only one that could. We see in her response, she knew her place in front of a holy God. She came to ask for mercy, not demanding an answer. She came not as an equal, but as a dog, hoping for some small scraps from the master's table. What was Jesus saying? I have come to the lost sheep of Israel. I am going to set this great table. We are going to have a feast. What would it be if I took that and gave it to the dogs? Now, most of us who have dogs at home know exactly what that is. There's a dog waiting there. Come on, drop something. Hey, you know what? That dog is excited as all get out when you drop a crumb. I got something! That's basically what she was saying. Truth, Lord, you're not coming to me. You're not coming to this Canaanite woman. You came for Israel. I understand that. But even the dogs are allowed to feed from the scraps that come from the table of the master. She is willing to put herself in the position of a dog deserving nothing but being thankful for the scraps that she might receive. The mother was willing to humble herself to obtain mercy for her daughter. If only we would show that type of humility. If only we would come to worship asking but knowing that we deserve absolutely nothing and thankful for the amazing provision he gives from his table. The truth is, there's none one of us who deserve to be at that table. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have that great feast. But not one of us deserved to be there. Not one of us even deserved to be the dog receiving the crumbs. And this woman showed that she understood that. And by doing that, she waited for the answer from Jesus Christ. She received the answer from Jesus Christ and gave all kinds of thanks. So, thankful for the amazing provision he gives from his table, he looked on her faith. He healed her daughter. Looking at ours, he will give us the desires of our heart if we put the desires of our heart in line with his. We recognize we serve him because of who he is, not because of who we are. We serve him because he has given up so much. And we ask answers to prayer that we may serve him with what the calling he's given us. And he will do it. I am less than a dog. I am a worm at best. And what does Jesus did? He's given me eternal life. He's imputed on me his righteousness. He's made me a joint heir of heaven. Do I deserve it? I don't even deserve to be a dog below the table. And yet he's invited me to sit at the table. And everyone who is saved here is the exact same thing. He's invited all of us to the table. And we will sit there if we accept his blood as payment for our sins and to get saved gloriously, like I believe this mother was. The Jews, with the modern church, expect Jesus to serve him. Let us come to him humbly, not demanding that he give us things, but asking for mercy, worshiping and receiving as we give him the glory. Here, the last became first. Her daughter was healed. Her joy was complete. And I am sure, because of her faith, we will meet this Canaanite woman in heaven, where we will not meet many of the Jews that he came to be the Messiah of. Now, the modern church, what do? I don't know if it's still up there or not, but we saw Creflo Dollar. Jesus wants me to have this jet. That may be true. But not demanding the way he did, and he put out, this is how we're going to do it. You got all have to give. You know, if Jesus wants to have the jet, he'll give it to him. The better prayer would be, Jesus, I need to serve you. If you've called me to serve internationally, you need to give me a way to get there. And let Jesus figure it out. Modern church says, he has to answer my prayer. If he has to answer my prayer, who's sovereign? God or me? God is sovereign. He'll answer based on who he is, not based on who I am. This mother showed she understood that. We need to learn from her. So today we spend the day honoring mothers. Not only our own mothers, but the mothers of our children. It's a shame, really is, that we have to take a special day to remember that. They deserve our praise for what they do every single day. Focused, humble, and importunate mothers ensure their children have the very best that they can offer. Praying for them, instructing them in godly virtues, calling them back from sinful lives, with others giving up on them, and turning lives around based on their prayers to God for who he is, and realizing that he can't answer those prayers. Not calling for their own station in life as long as their children are godly. How important is it to have a mother focused on her children? S.D. Gordon says this, a woman was calling on a friend whose children were brought in. The caller said, evidently with no thought of the meaning of her words, oh, I give my life to have two such children. To which the mother, with subdued earnestness, replied, that's exactly what it costs. It's not a village. It's not a school. It's not a government-sponsored health care plan that our children need. It is a mother and a father focused on the needs of that child, blessing that child with godly teaching, realizing God gave children as a way for us to teach them about for the next generation's lives. We're stewards of those children. God gave us the gifts, and we need to realize that and not look at them as just an annoyance or something we like to have around. They're going to be eternal joint heirs with Jesus Christ if we do what he called us to do. If we don't, they won't be, and we won't see them in heaven, and we'll have sorrow over that. Now, this is not to say a woman can't work outside the home. Proverbs 31 shows a woman using her skills to provide for the family. But her focus needs to be on the children. Children need a mother's love. Children need a mother's prayer. Society has downplayed this role. President Obama actually mocked it a while back. He said, well, women staying at home, not using their gifts to help society? Why would we want that? We want it because that's what God designed for a good family. In her book, Seven Myths of Working Mothers, Susan Venker writes, for one of the goals of the women's movement was to get men more involved in the home and to show them the amount of work involved in raising children. Instead, we joined men in their world, becoming breadwinners instead of mothers, thereby leading even fewer people to appreciate the work that goes into motherhood. In the end, then, all we've done is push both parents out of the home. I would hardly call this progress. Let us praise, honor, and give thanks to God for women who, like the Syrophoenician woman, focus on their children, pray for their children, never give up on their children, and give all the glory for Jesus Christ for any answer they possibly receive. Mothers, we salute you. With that, I forgot to bring out the bulletin. There it is. With that, this woman found out there was room at the cross for her. This woman came to the Messiah. This woman showed faith in Jesus Christ, which is what is required for salvation. She found room at the cross for herself and her daughter. Guess what? If you haven't done that yet, there's room at the cross for you. Turn your hymnals to page 310.
Please stand with me and join me in singing hymn 310. There's room at the cross for you. The cross upon which Jesus died is a shelter in which we can hide, and the grace so free is sufficient for me, and deep in its fountain is wide as the sea. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. Though millions have found him a friend and have turned from the sins they have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gate and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. The hand of my Savior strong, and the love of my Savior is long. Through sunshine or rain, through loss or in gain, the blood flows from Calvary to cleanse every stain. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you.
So get ready to pray. Realize there is room at the cross for you. He calls all to himself. As he calls all to himself, he desires that everyone come to get saved. But you have to come. And you have to put your sins under his blood. If you don't, there is no salvation available to you. Be like this Canaanite woman. Recognize the power of Jesus Christ. Recognize who he was. And come to the cross like she did. Because I believe we'll see her in heaven. Because she put faith and trust in Jesus Christ. She came with nothing. She expected nothing. But she desired the prayer and wouldn't leave until God answered that prayer. That's what we need to come to. I have nothing to offer Jesus Christ. I'm here preaching because he called me to do it and he gave me the ability to do it. And that's the only reason I'm here. He allows us to work for him. And that's what we need to remember. So if you've never been saved, please, today, come up. And I'll show you exactly how to get saved from his word. It's not my way. It's God's way. And as we go to prayer, give thanks that he gave us mothers. He gave us women to do in the family what he designed them to do. And if they do exactly what God tells them to do, we will have children that are blessed as they pray for, have patience with, do the things that God designed them to do. As men, we need to remember that and praise Him for it and provide the leadership in the homes to allow them to do exactly what God called them to do. And then after Rich plays a note, we'll go down and eat and celebrate the fact that God has given us mothers in our families. Heavenly Father, we come in front of you to praise your holy name, to just praise you for the fact that you have given us mothers and families, that you provided children with mothers and fathers, giving each individual strengths, called to come together to complete each other in marriage, to show children exactly how to live, exactly how to be raised in the Christian home, and exactly how to move forward. Lord, we've left that. We have competition between the sexes that you never called for. We're supposed to join one to another, using the strengths you gave us to show the world what a Christian home looks like, to show the world how to raise Christian children, to lift them up in praise, honor, and glory to you, that you may gloriously save them, and we may give you all the credit. Let us, Lord, thank you for the fact that you have, by your infinite wisdom, provided mothers with the strengths you've given them, that they, by their patience, by their love, by their prayers, will help raise children that will see that love, respond to it, and move forward understanding Jesus Christ a little bit more because of the love you gave them. And let us now celebrate mothers as we go eat. Let us recognize them for what they are, and let us praise your holy name for the godly mothers you provided in this church. We ask it all in your precious Son's name. Amen.